It's Thursday, October 9th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Romans chapter 11, looking at verses 11 through 24, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, God's Plan to Save Israel.
Think about how you stand. It's never been by works, it's by faith. We stand by the wonderful gift and grace of God. And if we believe and know that, what should that produce in us? The most humble, non-complaining, grateful, thankful people in all the earth. Everything you have, every dime you have, every dollar you have, the homes we have, you don't deserve. When we think about what we deserve, what a question.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
And Paul sees that as a great benefit to them, to provoke them to jealousy, that through their jealousy, when they become angry and see it for what it is, that the Gentiles are receiving their Messiah, then some will come back to Christ and some will believe. Now, this is exactly the program in Acts. I just want you to sit here for a minute and listen to Acts 13. You're welcome to turn there. You know the pattern in Acts. The gospel would go to the Jews first, and then it would go to the Gentiles. This is exactly what Jesus told them to do. And in verse 42 of chapter 13, Paul's at Antioch, and I want you to listen carefully to the events here. It's very fascinating. You see exactly what he's describing here play out in the book of Acts. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy, envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. So notice the chain here. First, Christ was preached to them. Then many rejected it. They were enraged with jealousy. They're looking around. Why in the world are all these Gentiles standing here? They judge themselves, Paul says, unworthy. And Paul says, fine, we're going to the Gentiles then. Then Paul and Barnabas, verse 46, grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has so commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. So, you heard that. It was God's command to preach Christ as a light to the Gentiles, right out of Isaiah. It was God's design to harden them, as they turned away, that the light would come to us. Okay? That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. What happened? At the preaching of Christ to the Gentiles, many of the Jews began to follow Paul and Barnabas, and they come to Iconium. Now, this is verse 1 of chapter 14. Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and spoke, so that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Notice that. A great number of Jews who were following believed. How did that happen? Through the preaching of Christ to the Gentiles. This is what Paul's describing. This is what he wants us to think about tonight. It's not rocket science. It's pretty clear. He says in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. I want to talk to you Gentiles for a minute. inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Romans, this is, we're back to Romans. I, notice what he says, magnify my ministry to the Gentiles. If by any means, verse 14, notice this in 11, in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? You hear what he's saying there. In other words, the Jews rejected Christ. That led to the Gentiles receiving the gospel. All the ends of the earth it went out to receive him. And more the Gentiles came into Jesus, the more and more he sees there will actually be Jewish belief. Now that's wonderful. It anticipates the doxology that's coming. Oh, the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. I magnify my ministry to the Gentiles because more and more, as Christ is preached and received among the Gentiles, it will bring in more Jews. More will be saved. So this answers the basic question. Is God done with the Jews, or does he have some plan for the Jews? Paul is speaking just as he did of the present plan that they're coming in at present. And this is beautiful. The world is being reconciled in this way. When they come through this great provocation, if you will, that means their acceptance is life from the dead. They become alive in Christ. Now, Paul had said last time, right now there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And think of how much greater that fullness will be when more and more come to believe through the Gentiles receiving Christ. I think this is just fabulous. It's so simple that we've messed up. And let me say, it makes me lament the terrible things that I see happen that stand in the way of this. Now think of what you just heard on the news, if you saw this the other day, because I like to ride the news cycle and I always have something every week, don't I? It's always something. Ted Cruz is sitting in front of Tucker Carlson. Anyone see that? And Ted Cruz says, Tucker Carlson, he says, listen, if we as America support the Jews, we will be blessed as a nation. We have always believed that. And if we don't do that, it will basically be our downfall. That's the long thread of thought that has gone through our political leaders. I don't know how many times I've heard that. If you want to succeed as a nation, support Israel. And Tucker says, where is that in the Bible? And Ted's blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he says, no idea. No idea where that came from. Supporting Israel in unbelief is not a solution, right? It's an unbelieving people. Supporting any nation in unbelief is not a solution. Now, political leaders do their thing, and there's political reasons for that. But to attach that to a spiritual blessing is an immense problem for Christianity. Financially supporting Israel, or as dispensationalism did for years, sending your money to the temple project over there to rebuild the temple, that does nothing to advance the cause. That does everything to stand in the way of the cause. You see? The great cause for Israel, the great help to Jews, is to preach Jesus. Very simply, preach the cross, preach their Messiah, and preach our Messiah now, right? That through that, the great provocation to jealousy, God will use that in the priest, how powerful the preaching of Christ is. God will use that to graft in more. Preach Jesus, you want to say to the dispensationalists. And you'll see what you want happen. So think of the beauty here. God hardened Israel to reconcile the world. And through that, the consequence of being faithful in the ministry of preaching Christ, they will be brought back to life. they will be given life. Now, here's where I think Paul's challenging Gentiles. Notice in verse 13, Paul's speaking specifically to Gentile members of the church. And essentially what he says here, I want you to have this aim for Israel, but it's not rocket science. Preach the Messiah. Preach Jesus. Because a careless or an arrogant attitude against them misunderstands everything God's done for you. This is really important for right now, since there's so much of this going on, of, like I said, neo-Nazi stuff. It's all over the internet of Christians. A careless attitude of Israel displays a lack of understanding what God has done for us. And that's with any group. However we think of or think of Israel constituted as a nation, I'm not thinking in nations, I'm talking about people. So notice verse 16 and what he says here. For if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. That's very important, isn't it? Do not be arrogant. If you are, remember, it's not you who support the root, but the root supports you. So he's applying that to Israel here. Israel's the root. Israel's the root. Israel's the olive tree. That was the symbol of Israel. And these branches that belong to Israel are consecrated to the Lord. Some of those branches were broken off. Why? For unbelief. They didn't believe in Jesus. So unbelieving Jews were broken off, and Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. That's one tree now, right? They're grafted in. Notice the language. They become partakers of the root. Fatness. So that's exactly why we can say we are the Israel of God. Understand that? We've been grafted in. We've been brought in. He does not see this as separate peoples. That is eliminated in the New Testament. One people of God. To the richness of the olive tree. That answers right there the whole charge of replacement theology. Okay, that's done. Maybe this will go out on the airwaves. I don't know. But it's important to say that. Do we believe Israel's being replaced? No. What it was just said, Gentiles are grafted into that olive tree. The root of Israel. And Gentiles have been grafted as true members of the Israel of God. So in one breath, Paul just dismantles this idea that there are two separate salvation plans for two different peoples of God. That's always been taught for many years in the church, that Israel rejected God and then he went to plan B, and then there's another plan for Israel separate from the Gentiles. They're one, grafted together. We're one people. And if you want to study this further, you can go to Galatians and see, and Paul in Ephesians 3 and see, that he says the very same promises made to Abraham belong to us Gentiles. Same faith, same promises. He's made both one. Well, then what should our attitude be to any unbelieving Jew? Well, if you were going on and you were visiting in the early church, there would have been severe fights happening between these groups, right? Gentiles began to despise the Jews, and Jews, of course, despised the Gentiles for disregarding their tradition. Paul is saying the attitude of Gentiles to despise the Jews is not a consistent application of the gospel. It's similar today when one ethnic group of Christians disregards another ethnic group and treats them as lesser on the totem pole or disregards them altogether. If Christians are doing that, what would that display? Well, partiality. But it would display a complete misunderstanding of what he just said in the last chapter. Grace. Grace. Paul takes the truth of the gospel and says, consider how you're right with God, right? He's been making the case the whole book. It's all by grace. You've been saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2. It eliminates any form of superiority or claim of greatness or thinking that somehow, you know, this is what, we're all guilty of it. I've been guilty of it. But it makes no sense for a reformed person to be proud. It can't make sense. Because we claim everything we have is by grace. You're not smarter than anyone else. I'm not either, to figure all this out. And so you see what he's working with here. It essentially, he says, you're the Johnny-come-latelys, right? You're the Johnny-come-latelys. And so that's what he says in verse 18. Don't boast against the branches. If you boast, remember, you don't support the root. The root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Good job, right? Because of unbelief, they were broken off, but you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. That's the spirit in the church Paul wants to create, of compassion, to look at people who don't believe and have compassion on them. To look at people in need and have compassion on them. We have a hyper-judgmental spirit that arises within us by nature. Gentiles, you don't deserve this, is what he's saying. What right have we to boast on anything? You're late on the scene. You didn't earn any blessing that you have. He's really putting everyone back in their place in this text. And essentially what he's saying is, think about how you stand. It's never been by works. It's by faith. We stand by the wonderful gift and grace of God. And if we believe and know that, what should that produce in us? The most humble, non-complaining, grateful, thankful people in all the earth. Everything you have, every dime you have, every dollar you have, the homes we have, you don't deserve. Everything. Who has received anything, really, of, you know, when we think about what we deserve, what a question. The minute you think you've obtained it, you've missed the whole narrative yourself. Paul issues in verse 21 a warning, considering how this should bring humility and thankfulness in God's goodness to us. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So that's a challenge. That's a challenge and a warning to say, God has shown us incredible love. And what is the fruit of that in your life? A heart for the lost. A heart for the lost. The people most touched by grace in the gospel, who understand how great the love of God has been to them, do not act that way. It's the same thing on forgiveness, right? You've been forgiven so much, go out and forgive. If Israel was cut off that I might be brought in, then our concern for them, because I have great concern for them, because God just said this. Listen, he's able to graft them in again. What an encouragement to the ministry, right? Preaching Jesus. Preaching in humility of Christ has great effects. More than we will ever see or know in this side of heaven. And the effect is that more of the Jews will come in. And that's why I love how verse 24 ends. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a culted olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? I think all our debate about what's going to happen to future Israel, God doesn't tell us. He doesn't want us to try to figure out the precise thing that's going to happen. Here's what he does. He leaves it wide open. He leaves it wide open. That possibility that through the magnifying of the ministry of Christ, you may see great conversion of Israel. Great conversion of people to Christ. And that's the concern he wants us to have. That God, through the opening of the door to the Gentiles, would again, in a reciprocal way, through our preaching, bring them back. And that, I end with the amazing truth then tonight of Psalm 117. Notice the psalm, in the Jewish Psalter. Was this not humble your hearts? In the Jewish Psalter. Praise the Lord. I started with this with the call to worship and the reading. Praise the Lord, all you Jews, Gentiles. Praise him, all you people. For he loves us very much. His steadfast love endures forever. Notice he chose the covenant word that belonged to Israel to the Gentiles. His covenant steadfast love belongs to us. Praise the Lord, all Gentiles. The Lord will be faithful to us forever. Praise the Lord. As we praise the Lord for receiving his Christ, God may just graft them in remarkable ways again. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word to us and encouraging us in this way. And our request then is tonight humility, for pride is such a great deceitful sin. Care for those who are different for us. Care for the lost. And we pray for Israel. We pray for, Lord, Jews. We pray for Jews and Gentiles together that you would, oh Lord, open the door wide as Christ is magnified among the nations. Thank you, oh Lord. Grant us faithfulness here that your people would be responding to this message and that they would be able to go out into their weeks and speak of their Messiah, telling others that Jesus is their Lord, that all the peoples may know the saving love of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's all the time we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope to see you back next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.